Thank you. better. It was a very rapid time. AC Bhakti Vedanta Sahib Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON's founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Sri Ram Navami Mahotsava. Gaur Premananda. All glories to this. All glories to this. All glories to this. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 So today, being the most auspicious Ram Navami day, we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And we will read text 3. Tasyanu charitam rajan rishibhis tattva darshapi shrutam hi varnitam bhuri twaya sita patir muhu. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Modern Rakshasas, posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by tattva-darshis, those who know the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, tad-vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeksyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Unless one is tattva-darshi, in complete knowledge of the Absolute Truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Although there are many so-called Ramayans, or histories, of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes, Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayans, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, Jnaninas Tattvadarshinah, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Shukadev Goswami. Rishabhis Tattvadarshipi. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadev Goswami in a few verses. Tasyanu Charitam Rajam Rishabhis Tattva Darshupi Shrutam Hi Varnitam Bhuri Twayas Sita Patir Mohu. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Jumadi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastuti Adishitaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vanchakapaturibhya Sarkita Sindhubhya Vacha Vaditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
How nice to be here with you all in Dubai on this wonderful, auspicious day of Sri Ram Navami. What more could we ask for? And this is a very nice verse and purport, very instructive. And these two chapters here, chapter 10, chapter 11, of this ninth canto, they are really, we understand, they are the definitive descriptions of Lord Ramachandra. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that even in those days, now of course, spoken 5,000 years ago, in those days there were many Ramayanas, many books describing Lord Ram's appearance, pastimes, and so on. And even today there are at least some number are there. But Prabhupada makes the point that we should only accept those literatures coming from the Tattva Darshi. We should accept those versions coming from those who have seen the truth. And here, Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, with Prabhupada's own commentary, this is the most authoritative. Although it, of course, is short, it's only, at least regarding Lord Ram, it is only two chapters, but the whole story is encapsulated there. Whereas nowadays, even there are many versions of Ramayana even there are different versions of Valmiki Ramayana, what to speak of other people, Tulsidas, Ramcharitamanas, and various others, their Tamil versions and different types of things. And there are some differences even. Some versions include Lord Ram worshipping Lord Shiva before crossing to Lanka. Some versions do not include that. And so like this, it may not be completely clear. Even our BBT translators, BBT devotees, they were working on Ramayana, based, of course, on Valmiki Ramayana. But then they found that there are different versions of Valmiki Ramayana. And so even to this day, we do not have a BBT version of Ramayana, among other things for that reason. So for us then, this is a very interesting point. For us, we accept as most authoritative and in one sense, ultimately, the only truly authoritative, completely authoritative version of Ramayana as being these two chapters, actually. At least here we know. We know 100%. Exo art percent. We know. This is authoritative. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, our Srimad Bhagavatam is the version which has been preserved and accepted by authoritative acharyas through the generations as being 100% accurate. So this we accept. Otherwise, of course, we know. There's so many, when it comes to Shastra, there are so many versions of so many things. Srila Prabhupada presented his Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as I think it is, or Bhagavad Gita as I would like it to be, or Bhagavad Gita as my grandmother told me, or as my mother-in-law told me, or Bhagavad Gita as it is not. So, even Bhagavad Gita, only 700 verses, they're different ideas at least, even though the text may be accepted pretty much in general. But so many ideas on what is Bhagavad Gita. So this is a very important point. We must take Shastra, we must take these things in authoritative ways. From authoritative sources, and then we get the real message. We get the real message. Otherwise, even in some cases, as Prabhupada mentions here, some materialistic scholars who are highly qualified in material educational terms, they present versions of Ramayana and take different parts from Ramayana, try and present them. But Srila Prabhupada describes them here as the modern Rakshasas. The modern Rakshasas. Of course, Ravan, he was the old Rakshasa from the old days. Rakshasa. Very terrible person, cannibal, and just atrocious person. So he was the old one. And even though, of course, he was cannibal and he was just most terrible person in so many ways, but ultimately speaking, his worst disqualification really was he tried to steal Sita from Lord Ram. Yes. Trying to steal Lakshmi from Narayan. Nowadays, of course, even amongst some or however many Hindu people, they're very fond of worshipping Lakshmi. I'm based in South Africa there. Every Hindu house, pretty much, they have a little lamp they refer to as Lakshmi. They must keep Lakshmi burning, so they take it that this is Lakshmi. But where is Narayan? Maybe he went on holiday on his own. And Lakshmi's just there on her own. But we know that Lakshmi, she is the original chaste wife. And Sita, she is Mahalakshmi. She is the source of Lakshmi. So she is the original chaste wife. And for the chaste wife to be approached, particularly by some man, just on her own, independent from the husband, this is not possible. It's not just unacceptable, it's not possible, really. So, but this was Ravan's idea. Let me get Sita without Ram. Who needs Ram when I have Sita? When we have Sita, we don't need Ram. So, yes. So, of course, in this world, people are after money, and money is coming from Lakshmi Devi, and Lakshmi Devi is coming from Mother Sita. But generally, everybody, at least great, great, great majority, they want Lakshmi. Give me money. They want money. So they're working very hard. And so they want Lakshmi. But Narayan they don't want. Narayan they don't want. They just want Lakshmi. So these, Prabhupada refers to them, modern Rakshasa. They may write some version of Ramayana, some commentaries, some ideas. And what is their idea? Really, ultimately, they want to make some money. If we write something and call it Ramayana, people are very fond of Ramayana, so they may buy it. And if they buy it, I will get money. And that is my goal. Give me money. So, in other words, they want Lakshmi. They don't want Narayan. And just like Ravan, he wanted Sita without Ram. So even these, Prabhupada is saying, modern Rakshasas, these people are presenting Ramayana without really emphasizing clearly who is Ram and what is Ram. He is the goal of life. Everyone should be devoted to Lord Ram. But in order to get some money, in other words, to get Sita, they are minimizing and misrepresenting Ram. In other words, they're trying to kill Ram. Really. Yes. And just benefit themselves by giving some speculative version of Ramayana. So therefore they are the modern day Ravanas, but they are taken to be authorities on the subject of Ram because they have some doctorate, they have some recognition, something like that. So this we don't accept. We don't accept. One time Srila Prabhupada was going to a Bhagavad Gita Mela, big Bhagavad Gita celebration in Kurukshetra. some famous man, he was like promoter of Bhagavad Gita, he would really try and present Bhagavad Gita, distribute Bhagavad Gita. He organized this Bhagavad Gita festival in Kurukshetra, I think right there at Jyoti Sa, which they say is where Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So, Srila Prabhupada, of course, was already well known as the great international ambassador of Bhagavad Gita. And this man invited Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came from Delhi by train, and the man met him at the railway station in Kurukshetra and traveled with him by car out there to where the festival was. And the gentleman said, "Oh, Swamiji, we are so happy that you are here to take part in a Bhagavad Gita Mela, because you are the great international presenter of Bhagavad Gita, and you have done so much to popularize Bhagavad Gita and glorify Bhagavad Gita. We're so happy to have you here, and we cannot wait until you speak to us. There are so many speakers, and you will speak to us about Bhagavad Gita. We cannot wait. We want to hear. Just one thing, though. Just one thing. Please don't mention Krishna." Bhagavad Gita without Krishna. It was the same idea. This is modern idea. Who is Lord Ram? Well, we're not sure. Could be this, could be that. Yeah, some people say he's God, others say there was no Ram, others say there was no Krishna. Krishna just represents the intelligence, and Arjuna just represents the confused, conditioned soul. Kurukshetra, it doesn't mean the place. It just means the body. And like this. You get these ideas, isn't it? Even from very famous people. Even from very famous people. Even Gandhi had some idea like that. Yeah. So it's a great shame, but this is Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, you can always expect the unexpected. You can always expect. Well, you can always expect something wrong, actually. You can always know that pretty much we will not get the right thing. So Srila Prabhupada's emphasizing here, and it's so important, that when it comes to Lord Ram, when it comes to Krishna, when it comes to anything, any Shastra, we really, as Lord Krishna says in 4:34, what does Krishna say? Yes, very good. Tatvadarshinaha is the term is used there. And in this verse, same term basically, tatvadarshapi. Tatvadarshapi. So same idea basically. Same idea. Accepting knowledge from those who have seen the truth and not for others. So Lord Ram is such glorious personality, such wonderful personality. preparing within this world to do, to achieve different things. To achieve different things. One thing which is mentioned after some few verses in a little while, one thing which is mentioned is that Lord Ram, at least one reason why Lord Ram appeared is that he appeared to show the example of Eka Patni Vrata. Yes. Of course, in those days, it was common that some men, and particularly Kshatriya men, who are very physically very powerful and very opulent, it was common that they would have more than one wife. And even Lord Ram's father, Dasharath, he had three wives. But Lord Ram, he accepted Eka Patni Vrata, that vow, decision, firm decision, that he would only accept one wife. And of course, well, particularly in Kali Yuga, to accept more than one wife is not recommended. And even in Kali Yuga, a man will be considered expert if he can maintain one wife to the point that she is fully satisfied. We will not ask the ladies how their husbands are doing in that regard, but you can think about it. Yes, you can think about it. And Krishna had 16,108 wives, and no one should try to compete with him. And but Lord Ram wanted to show it. And at the same time, it's discussed in here, there's one verse specifically addressing this point just after a few verses, that Lord Ram also wanted to show how, if a person becomes materially attached to their husband or wife, that it produces pain. And Prabhupada goes to some lengths in the purport to discuss this, how just materialistic husband-wife relationship without Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, Ram consciousness, without that, it'll simply produce suffering and pain and so many disturbances. But the relationship between Lord Ram and Mother Sita, it was not such a material relationship, which is so common and is the main thing really nowadays, that people enter into household life just because you look good to me, I look good to you, let's get together, for reasons like that. Right at the end, the very end of the description of Lord Ram and his pastimes, at the end of chapter 11, the second chapter, the last two verses, they're describing the relationship of Lord Ram and Mother Sita, that Lord Ram, having taken that Eka Patni Vrata, he was fully dedicated to Mother Sita in all respects. He didn't treat her like an unpaid servant. just keeping the place clean, etc. And just cooking, in an official way. But he was completely dedicated to Mother Sita in a fully spiritual way. And Prabhupada goes to some lengths to discuss how when Mother Sita was kidnapped, or apparently kidnapped, then Lord Ram, because he is God, he could have easily manifested Mother Sita, or even hundreds of Sitas, replacement Sitas, or even thousands. So many things he could have done. He, after all, he is God. He could have just rescued her like that. It is not a big job for him. But because he wanted to show that the husband should protect the wife at any cost, any cost. So he went to great lengths to rescue Mother Sita. And Mother Sita, so Lord Ram was fully devoted, dedicated spiritually to Mother Sita. But Mother Sita was completely devoted to Lord Ram also. She was not, in other words, he would do anything she wanted. If she asked for something, he would not question it, try to avoid it. He would do whatever she wanted, because she was only asking out of pure love, not for some materially selfish purpose. So she did not have to nag him. I don't know if you're familiar with this word, nag, henpeck. Are you familiar with that? Just go on and 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 on about something until the husband says, all right, all right. I'll get you whatever you want, just stop. So because of the relationship of pure love, genuine, pure love, and of course in this case, on the very highest level, most pure and greatest in extent. So their relationship as husband and wife was so deep and so spiritually rich. Prabhupada makes the point, just in his purpose there, to the last two or three verses of the 11th chapter of the 9th canto. Prabhupada makes this point that if modern day householders could follow the example of Lord Ram and Mother Sita as householders, Prabhupada says that life in this world would become like heaven. It would just become incredible, incredibly wonderful, far beyond what certainly what we've experienced, but even what we're capable of imagining. Yes. So this is there are many important points in the pastimes of Lord Ram and Mother Sita, but this is a very important point, particularly for householders, to recognize. Of course, your average, even devotee husband is not a Lord Ram. We cannot expect too much. And your average, even devotee wife is not really a Mother Sita. We cannot expect too much. But at least we should try to follow in their footsteps in this regard. As Lord Chaitanya showed by his example how to be a devotee, how to practice, Krishna consciousness in this age. So, Lord Ram and Mother Sita, among many other things, but very important point, they showed people, and particularly devotees, how to be husband and wife in God consciousness, in Kali Yuga or at any time, actually. So this is very wonderful. Very wonderful. And Mother Sita is very wonderful. And Lord Rama is very wonderful. Their examples, their relationship is very wonderful. It's very amazing. Of course, we're going to talk more about it at the Sindhi Hall in a little few hours. So anyway, we'll talk more about it there. But the thing is, there are many interesting aspects to this whole pastime of the pastimes of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. One thing I'll just mention in closing, is that there's a discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Perhaps you've all read it, I don't know. But Lord Chaitanya was touring South India, and down somewhere there, Tamil Nadu way, he met one Ram Bhakta, who was very devoted to Lord Ram. So Lord Chaitanya arrived there, and that devotee received him very nicely and invited Lord Chaitanya for lunch. Lord Chaitanya was waiting for lunch, and he noticed lunch was not coming. And indeed, the devotee who had invited him for lunch was not preparing lunch. And Lord Chaitanya was wondering, what is going on here? And then he saw that devotee was not preparing lunch because the devotee was in a very emotional condition. And so Lord Chaitanya questioned him, what is the situation? And the devotee told him that every day it's like this. I just become too disturbed and I become dysfunctional. I cannot do anything because every day I start thinking, how did Ravan touch Mother Sita? How could it be possible that such, you know, even to, in one sense, to call him a person, like a human being, such a person, such a creature of such despicable character could touch Mother Sita, who is the goddess of fortune, who is the supreme pure? How is it possible? And kidnap her and abuse her? How could it happen? So every day, he told Lord Chaitanya, every day I just start thinking this, about this, and then more and more, and it just comes to the point I become overwhelmed and I can't do anything. And he told Lord Chaitanya, you know, I think I've come to the point I am going to kill myself because I cannot tolerate this. I cannot any longer. That rather touched Mother Sita. It's too much. I'm going to commit suicide. So Lord Chaitanya said, well, wait. Just wait. And I will look into the matter. So Lord Chaitanya went and visited some other ashrams and temples around the sort of general, the region really, the greater area. And in one of those temples, he came across a copy of, what was it? Kurma Purana. I think Kurma Purana. And in that version of Kurma Purana, he found the description that when Lord Ram kidnapped Mother Sita, it was not the real Sita. It was a Maya Sita. Yes. That when Mother Sita stepped through the protective circle established by Lakshman, which was protected by some Agni mantra, that the real Mother Sita went to Agni Loka, under the protection of Agni Dev himself. And at the same time, a Maya Sita came from Agni Loka. And you couldn't see, like, the real Mother Sita goes, then the Maya Sita comes, and, you know, it happened mystically. You couldn't see it happen. It seemed that the same original Sita just stepped out. But actually this change had happened imperceptibly. Yes, so Lord Chaitanya found that, and the devotees there let him take the pages out of the book. You know, in those days, it's not that you could get thousands of copies of, and if you want Bhagavad Gita, 10,000 copies you can get. If you wanted a copy of Ramayana, you had to put in your order. They had to write it by hand, 25,000 verses. And then, how long that would take, maybe some years. And then you'd get Ramayana. So, Lord Chaitanya took those pages, the devotee's letter, and he returned to that Ram Bhakta and gave them to him. And that Ram Bhakta saw this. Ah, this is authoritative. This is actually from Shastra. This is explaining the situation. And then he felt very happy that it was a Maya Sita. Because after all, the description is there that when the bow of Lord Shiva was waiting in the palace of Janaka Maharaj for the competition, who Sita will have as husband, that bow, of course, had to be carried by 300 men. The bow of Lord Shiva. 300 warriors. Not 300 office workers from Dubai. 300 warriors. The real thing. So the description is there. That one day, just shortly before that, very shortly before, as the bow was lying and they were waiting, Mother Sita was in one of the courtyards playing a ball game with her girlfriends in the precincts of the palace. And the ball, they were throwing the ball got stuck in a tree. And they couldn't get the ball free. So what to do, what to do? And then Mother Sita said, I know. There's that big bow. Let us take the bow and use it to push the ball out of the tree. So Mother Sita did that with one hand, not even two. One hand, she lifted the bow and used it to free the ball from the tree. and then put the bow back. Because Mother Sita, like we said, people don't understand Lord Ram. They don't understand Mother Sita. In the previous verse and purport to this one, Prabhupada makes the point that even though some people think that Ram, Lakshman, and so on, and Bharat, that they are like some special ordinary people, like some big heroes, like very exceptional, but still basically ordinary people. But actually they are Vishnu. And some think that Ram is Vishnu, but the others are not. But actually they're all Vishnu. So Mother Sita then, she is the goddess of fortune. She is the internal potency of the Lord. Durga. Durga Devi. The presiding deity of the material energy and in one sense the embodiment of the material energy. She is tiny fraction of a fragment of Mother Sita. In size and in terms of Shakti. She's expanded from Lakshmi, who's expanded from Sita. But tiny. And someone like Ravan, by our standards, he's very powerful. But what is his power? It is material. Simply material. It's not spiritual. And so his power is coming from the same Durga, who is a tiny fragment of Mother Sita and has a tiny fragment of her power. So in that competition, they had to pick up the bow and string it, and that was the idea. So various princes came, and big strong warrior, young men, and they tried to string the bow. They couldn't pick the bow up. First you have to pick it up. They couldn't pick it. Only one who was able to pick it was Ravan. And he picked it maybe 2 inches after straining, struggling. Did you ever see these people who lift weights? You ever see them? Sometimes, you know, there's the bar with the weights on either end. They pick the bar, and they struggle, and they struggle, and maybe they get it up, or maybe they just can't. Even if they get it up, then they just drop it. So all these other young men, they couldn't even lift it off the ground. Ravan at least lifted it off the ground about that time. But then it was too much. And then he just fell, and the bow fell on his fingers. And he couldn't lift it off his fingers. So then Lord Ram, with one hand, came and said, "Oh, you're having some difficulty, let me help you." And he just lifted the bow. So that Ravan couldn't lift the bow. Because however powerful he may be, it's all simply material power, that's all. It's not spiritual power. It's material power coming from Durga, who's a tiny fraction of a fragment of Mother Sita. And we saw that she lifted the bow just like that. Just like it was a stick. Just lifted. Manipulated. So how does Radha then capture Mother Sita? How can he do it? Obviously, the answer to that is, obviously, He can't do it. Obviously, he can't. Yes. Even if we didn't know about these things with the bow, but just anyway, it's obvious he can't kidnap Mother Sita against her will. It's simply impossible. She is the transcendental, internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, so there are many interesting factors in this, the story of Lord Ram, Mother Sita, all these different things that have happened. And we will continue in the Sindhi Hall. So, yes, next installment. You must come to follow the story. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki.
Jai.
Shri Ram Navami Mahotsava ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada
ki. Jai.
Gaur Premanandi
ki. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Ki. Jai.
Any questions? If you have 5 minutes for questions, if anybody has any doubts.
Prashna,
Maharaj, this Maya Sita, and when she become original Sita, older?
When Sita entered the fire.
Okay.
Then the Maya Sita returned to Agni, and the real Sita came. And in one sense, this is why Lord Ram was so casual with Sita. When it came to entering the fire, just walk through the fire. Because it wasn't the real Sita. If it was the real Sita, he wouldn't really do that. But anyway, yeah. So, but that Maya Sita, she returned, at least they say. I don't know really how Shastric it is. And became one of the wives of Venkateshwar. So they say. Yeah. Because she really, having had some connection with Lord Ram, she really wanted actually to be his wife. Although he had taken that vow of only one wife, so she couldn't. So, you know, this they tell the story there in Tirupati. I'm not sure if it's really sort of Puranic or anything like that. But this is what they say. She came, I think she came as the daughter of...
She came as
Padmavati.
Kumera.
So, and then they all lived happily ever after. Any other comment or question?
Maya Harikshna, why do we celebrate Ram Navami twice in a year?
Because we don't.
There's one more Ram Navami comes in the month of October, November, is it?
Well, there's Dussehra. Dussehra, when Ram killed Ravan, then there's Diwali, which, you know, is the return of Ram and Sita. But there's not another Ram Navami as such. You know, some people may have different ideas of when the appearance day is, because it was a long time ago. You know, it was a long time ago. No one knows how long, but it was long. But there's definitely not two Ram Navamis as such. Yeah, what do any of you have to say about that?
Maharaj, Valmiki written by this Ramayana, After happening or before happening?
Before. Because, well, the thing is that, you know, even Mahabharata was existing before Krishna and the Pandavas appeared. Jiva Goswami discusses this, the general subject in Tattva Sandarbha, that actually these literatures, these narrations are eternal. They're eternal. Even before Valmiki, which was before Lord Rama, before Valmiki, there was Ramayana. But the problem, or the situation, is that these literatures, sometimes they're manifest, sometimes due to whatever circumstances, historical circumstances, they become lost. Then they, by the Lord's arrangement, they reappear. But it's not that Valmiki created Ramayana from a truly, literally non-existent state. No. He just re-manifested it, although it had been lost due to time. You know, just like in Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, Krishna says, Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajashaya Vidu Sa Kalineha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. So it Nashta, it was lost. And now Krishna's saying, I'm re-presenting it. So that's actually also discussed in Tattva Sandarbha. It's interesting. I mean, you may know, I'm not aware. But Krishna says, Yoga Nashta, that the science was lost. And Jiva Goswami discusses this in Tattva Sandarbha, quoting one of the Puranas, I forget exactly, that the knowledge was lost by the curse of Gotama, which, anyway, there was somehow a great drought in the universe, and there was no food available except by the ashram of Gotama. So all the Brahmins and sages and those types of people, they all went to the ashram of Gotama, and they were able to live there through the drought because there was still food available there. Then after the drought, when it finished and they were able to go home, Gotama didn't want them to go. He wouldn't let them go. You know, when a guest visits you, or when you're a guest at someone's house, when you want to go, you're meant to ask, can I go? And if they say, well, no, you're meant to not go. Actually, this is, you know, like Vedic type of etiquette. So Gotama would not let them go. They were asking, he would not allow, but they wanted to go, they really wanted to go. So in order to be able to go, they created a false situation. They built a calf out of straw and put it by the path that Gotama would use to go to the river to take bath in the morning. And in the morning he walked down the path and kicked the straw calf. And all those Brahmins and sages, you know, this is of course their trick, they found this calf that had been kicked out of the way. And they told Gotama, oh, you killed a calf. You're contaminated. We cannot stay here, we have to go. In this way, they were able to leave. But then Gotama found the straw calf and understood what had happened. So he cursed all of them. may your knowledge turn into ignorance. And this is how, Jiva Goswami is explaining that this is actually how it happened, that what Krishna refers to there in chapter 4, verse 2 of Bhagavad Gita, that the science was lost, and therefore it needed to be reestablished. He explains this is how it actually happened. Yeah. So, but previously, and then, you know, when Vyasadeva appeared, the Vedic knowledge was in quite a disturbed state, and he had to take it and, you know, re-establish the Vedic knowledge. Yeah. Reorder it. So these literatures, they come and go. When they go, it's like, you know, with the Muslims in India, they destroyed many literatures. Many. And so, like, right at the end of the Bhagavatam, there's a list of all the 18 main Puranas and how many verses are in each. But, you know, they're all sort of existing now, but many of them, you'll see, they don't have that number of verses because it's been lost. And, you know, in the four Vedas, there were, if I remember correctly, 26,000 samhitas, approximately. Each samhita has a Brahmana, Aranyaka, and Upanishad. So in other words, there were 26,000 Upanishads. Now, people talk about 108 Upanishads. You know, there are others, some say there are 160, but actually before there were thousands of Upanishads, but they've been lost, at least since the time of Srimad Bhagavatam, so many. Even, you know, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur talks about pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, that this is all described in the Vedic literature. But, you know, Vedic literature, as we have any experience of it, it doesn't really contain much about Lord Chaitanya at all. So it's like Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is an incarnation of the Yesterday, he is re-manifesting that part of the Veda, the part to do with Lord Chaitanya. So Valmiki, now he was sitting and chanting Ram, 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 and the Ramayana appeared in his heart. It was an already existing literature, which by the special arrangement of the Lord, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he was able to realize. You know, even you may have the experience sometimes. You're preaching to someone and you really get into it. And you start saying some things. And you don't really remember having read them. But then later you find, maybe you did read them, but you just forgot. But later you find that it's there. Because the Lord supplies knowledge. And that's what happened with Valmiki in a very big way. The Lord revealed the whole Ramayana to him. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki
Jai.
Shri Ram Navami Mahotsava ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Gaur Premananda
ki Jai.